Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our strong desires for control may at times separate us from you. At times we are stubborn, and in stubborn independence we turn from you. We feel the weight both day and night when we hide our failures and our guilt. But you have a way of protecting all of us. We acknowledge our sins before you this morning, and we reveal our transgressions. In these moments, we give thanks. We give thanks to you, dear Lord. In silent prayer, we offer to you the list of sins or the list of waywardness that we have had in our lives. In this silent prayer, silent moment, we praise you. We praise you for all that you do in our lives. We worship together, Lord. We celebrate you. We are thankful that you forgive us. Our slate is wiped clean, and we are free to follow Jesus in obedience and experience his love in and through every test we may experience. In your name, amen. Today is the very first Sunday of Lent. The Lenten series we're going to be following is called Created in the Image of God and Shaped by Jesus. Created in the Image of God. How awesome is that? He watches over us and converses with us whenever we turn to him. And yet the very first humans that were here on earth let us down. Adam and Eve. They had a choice. They were given a choice. They were given responsibility. They had freedom. And they gave into the pressure of life. Their beautiful garden became a wilderness. At that moment, they left God out of the conversation. That happens to us. We get busy. We have a list of things to do. We have people to call. We have meals to make. And we get going, and we forget to turn to God. In Genesis 2:15, says, the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. It was not a good thing that they left God out of conversation. Are we leaving God out of our conversations? Are we talking with him daily? We certainly have pressures that squeeze us into moments where we almost are less human, right? Pressures to have the best, to have the biggest, to have the nicest car. Pressures to take medication so that we can feel good, or to drink, have a drink, and that will calm us down. Or pressures to put a person down that has hurt us. Pressures to be liked, pressures to walk away from devotions because I have this list that I need to get done. Don't turn away from conversation with God. Turning to Genesis 3, starting at verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced, and she saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. We are all faced with temptations. As I was kept reading and reviewing the verses I was going to share this morning, I thought, oh, the first time that the serpent spoke to her, she should have separated herself and prayed to God. She should have gone to Adam, and she and Adam could have prayed. They could have kept God in the conversation. Whenever there is a tough situation or tough decisions that need to be made, turn to God. We are all faced with temptations as Satan works ceaselessly to coax us to question God's word, the gift of the Bible. It's in our hands. The Old Testament, the New Testament, so many lessons learned. It is important to recognize that every believer has the Holy Spirit upon them. When the Holy Spirit is upon us, we are able to turn to a life of serving, serving God and serving others. The enticement of sin leads us to question God's integrity. God's truthfulness becomes questioned. With the Lord's Spirit flowing upon you, you are to welcome that Spirit. You are to be empowered by that Spirit. We as his children must recognize the temptation for men and women are very common. The temptations are very common. But when we turn to God, we can escape. We can find an escape. We can find a way forward. Jesus provides great help in times of temptation. When we think of that addict, a person who is a child of God, no matter what his or her condition, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. When a person says, "I believe in God," they have that Spirit in them. But we need to pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And we believe when we are baptized that the Holy Spirit is upon us. When we view the Ukraine war, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to intervene and cause peace. When a person is suffering, pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon them. We have a loving Father who is with us, watching over us, walking with each of us and providing a way forward in love. Boy, I just going back to the notion of addicts. I saw a brief snippet on Facebook about Kensington, and it just shows person after person either lying down or standing up or just bending over and with addiction, with heroin, with cocaine. My heart aches because they are God's children and they're in such need. And their families, they're in pain and their families are in pain. We need to pray that the Spirit is within them and the Spirit is upon them. That's an awful temptation to deal with. Does the Holy Spirit have you? Are your ambitions and dreams and hopes leading you toward God? God wants his people to freely choose to live with him. He wants to be with people who choose him without reservations. Those who willingly choose to follow God will naturally choose to serve Him and to serve others. Jesus chose God, and the Spirit was upon Him. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to converse with His blessed, beloved Father. He found himself near starving after 40 days. And that's when Satan began to tempt him. Probably those people in Kensington perhaps lost their job, perhaps got a divorce, perhaps couldn't pay for their apartment, perhaps felt left out and wanted to be the way their so-called friends were behaving. When people are down, that's when Satan jumps in. But Jesus was empowered from above, and he continued to converse with God and to seek God. Jesus, being Spirit-led, revealed to the world who he is. Jesus would be the King of Kings, the King over the enemy. You truly believe and you truly know this, that people see the love of God when you serve others. This church is filled with people who serve others. We are so blessed. You see, a Christian is more than a person that just goes to church. Believers walk in this world knowing they are forgiven. They are not feared by others, as they have consistent personalities, and they work to make the world a better place. A Christian is someone whose behavior and heart reflects Jesus Christ. I look at all of you and I see that. And you're not going to go, oh, yay, I'm proud of me. You're going to give thanks to God. And then this week, I bet many of you will be thinking, who can I call? Who can I pick up? Who can I deliver food to? We're blessed. Through testing our inner essence, our souls are revealed. We're blessed, but we will be tested. And your soul will be revealed. God created each of us to be thinkers, planners, communicators, and to have freedom of will. Lent is the season to release the pressures, to turn away from all that distorts or twists our humanity. We are to seek the Lord spiritually and allow space in your lives for God to work. Learn to recognize the testing. Learn to look for a positive effect that testing may have on your life. Allow God to become closer to you. Others will fail you, but the Lord will always be victorious. I'm reading from Matthew 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the Scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point in the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, and so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." And Jesus responded, "The Scriptures also say, ye must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. It was after Jesus was baptized that he went into the wilderness to meditate, to give God time, to commune with God. He knew spiritual enemies would find him, and Jesus prayed not to be led into temptation. How many times does that happen? We've got this spiritual energy, and we're just filled with his love, and that's when, boom, the next thing happens and kind of takes all the air out of our balloon. That's when the devil tries to reach us the most. When you are feeling close to God, he's going to find his way into your life somehow. Recognize that testing. And keep your conversations open with God. Matthew Henry wrote, our care must be not to enter into temptation, but if God, by his providence, order us into circumstances of temptation for our trial, we must not think it strange, but double our guard. Be strong in the Lord, resist steadfast in love, and all shall be well. Don't rely on your own strength. In faith, live knowing that God is in you and God is with you. The evil of this world is constantly tempting to bring sin against God. Evil encourages men and women to distrust the Father's care for us. Satan can be resisted. He can be defeated. Jesus was so ready to rely on God. He responded to the devil in this way. He would say, the scripture says, or it is written. And Jesus turned to the scripture to respond as if God was responding. Are we able to do that? If our Bible is home on the kitchen table, are we able to give a response that God or Jesus would have responded? Jesus rejected the words that were spoken by Satan. He continuously worshiped God to confirm and validate God's love for his children. Perhaps it is good to give up eating, to fast for a day. Allow your body to feel that need to turn to God. Perhaps it is good to give something up for Lent, to allow your body to recognize how much you need God. Jesus honored God's word. Jesus was confident of his Father's care for him. Knowing God was already his Father, Jesus knew that his Father's angels were watching over him. Some of us could tell some amazing stories about angels watching over us. Our Heavenly Father has promised not to forsake us. Jesus knew that God did not tempt and will never tempt with evil. He knew he would not fall into sin because of his close walk with his Father. He said, get out of here, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. When Jesus was not moved by evil, Satan was befuddled and dejected, and he concluded that Jesus really was the Son of God, and that tempting him was of no use. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. When we resist Satan and stand our ground in our faith, he will flee from us. That's a blessing. Honor God. Read his word. Share and learn together with other believers. Sing to him. Pray together. Serve others and shine with his love. We must do what God commands us to do. When Jesus was on the cross, Satan left him as he knew he had nothing to take hold of in Jesus' life. It was done. Our King, our Prince of Peace, defeated evil. Jesus will always be victorious. He will be our strength in times of temptation. He is merciful, and he prays for each one of us. Jesus prays for each one of us. God had acted, has acted, and Jesus still acts to reshape us into the image of God. And so becoming authentically human is first and foremost about what God is doing in our lives. We become truly human when we claim his redeeming works of love in us and for us. Jesus promises to meet our needs. Resist taking situations into your own hands. Our Father's timing is different from our timing. Sometimes we need to wait. His timing is perfect, and he will provide for all of your needs. In the series that we're working in, they've asked us to take a moment, perhaps to think, and maybe someone would like to share the answer to these questions. So think about these questions. Life is full of challenging experiences and testing. Share an experience of testing in your life. How did you handle that testing? What positive effect did this testing have on your life? How did this test shape the way that you see Jesus? I just shared with Hank last week, Hank and Deb and Jen, one of the challenging times in my life was having the opportunity to go to a private school. I have a twin brother. We would go to this private school because, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, his grades were dropping. And when we went to the private school, I fell in love with it, but my brother wanted to stay in the public school for the sports. And my mother was distraught about that, because she thought I should just stay with my brother and stay in public school. And my father felt if we offered it to John, we have to offer it to Beth. So I went to this private school, at Perky Oman School. It's in Pennsburg, just my last 2 years of school. And it was hard because I knew I wasn't doing what my mother wanted me to do, and I think that was the first time ever. And I felt like I was disrespecting her. And when I got to the school, every morning, we started in the chapel. Not every morning was a spiritual message, maybe twice, Tuesdays and Thursdays. But to me, I was sitting in God's house every morning, and that's how I started my day. And I was determined to do my best as well. So I needed to make sure that my mother knew that I still loved her. I needed to make sure that she knew that I was always going to try my best. But most importantly for me, and I didn't know this in the beginning, was that I'd be starting every day in the little chapel in the church at that school. Did it have a positive effect? You bet. I think every morning I was having my own little conversation with God about how to get through life being a teenager. Did that shape the way that I saw Jesus? Every day I felt he's with me. And when chapel was over, I thought, now I can start my day. Have any of you had a challenging experience or a test, an experience where you were tested? Mary, may I share a story? And I hope you don't mind. When you were the secretary over at Doylestown, and you enjoyed it there, right? And so when it was time to move on, you weren't sure where you were going or what you were doing. That was a challenging time. You may not have been too happy about stepping down from being a secretary, a job that you loved. And lo and behold, what happened? Mike invited you to come here. And so you got to know everybody, got to learn the system, learned to love the people here at Wellspring, felt the spirit here at Wellspring. God is good. How have you handled your testing? Linda, may I share something about you? Sure. Linda and I have both experienced the sadness of divorce and the testing of divorce. That's not an easy thing to go through. It's like a death. Linda persisted, being Linda, filled with the Spirit of God. She gained strength in being independent. She's a strong woman who continues to serve God. That testing situation has helped shape Linda to be the most amazing person that she is today. You don't have to agree to being amazing, but do you feel that that testing and that awful experience has helped you to grow? Given your all.
In your marriage, and then things began to unravel, and it just is harsh to feel like a good person. What did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Where did I go wrong? What should I have done better to make my marriage work? Mm-hmm. It finally became very clear to me that it was okay for me to step away from that situation. Mm-hmm.
And you kept your conversation with him ongoing. Morning, noon, and night. Yeah. Yeah. You're such a blessing to us. We're so thankful for all that you do.
And for me, it was, I had been sober for 22 years, and I was accused of abuse, some type of abuse. And so they asked me to resign. That's not a choice. I could be reported or I could resign. And I didn't remember having done it. And so I resigned. But then it's like, okay, now you have this on the record. But it was like, there's no other choice. I have to believe them.
It's tough.
My thing was, I can't give up on God because there's nothing else.
Right.
And it was a very difficult summer, and then I did some part-time jobs, and then it just so happened it was the week before Labor Day, and Sue called me with this number, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ask $4, faxing this information to a brick building, and because it was for a charter school that was starting, and anyway, I went back and forth, you know, and it turned out that I could get that job at the charter school for a year, but you know, it was, you know, it was just how God worked through that summer and that, you know, that way. But yeah. I could not, and I learned a lot through that experience.
Your job becomes like part of your identity. So when you lose a job or when you retire from a job, many people suffer with, like, well, who am I, right? So that must have been very difficult. Plus, if people have said negative things, that's on them. That's on them. But getting through it, you continued your faith. You continued.
And the sad part was that particular person that accused me of that ended up having an addiction problem, and she...
Wow.
Overdosed.
Wow.
And I actually didn't know it, but through the next year in that charter school, I ran into somebody who was related to that person.
Yeah.
She said, oh, yeah, she, and it was like, oh, my God, I mean, that wasn't something I would have wished on her, but it's just,
Absolutely.
It's just, you know.
She was sad. She was a sad person. And Satan took that opportunity to tug on you. And you kept your conversation open with him. So important. Would anyone like to share how a testing situation shaped the way that you saw Jesus? I think I shared with you when my son Matthew was having seizures and they were taking him to give him some anti-seizure medicine, and it was a shock. They would take him out of the hospital room, and my ex-husband took him out of the hospital room, and I just curled up in Matthew's bed, and I could hear Matthew crying, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and cried and cried and really felt like I was being covered by his love. And yet I couldn't understand, why is my child sick, and why does he have to go through this pain, and what's going on? We didn't even know what was going on. And I just remember being curled up in that bed and turning to God and praying to Jesus to be with all of us. And I felt like that warmth, like I was just covered by his love. A wonderful reminder that he's always with us. He's always with us. Let's pray. We praise you, Father, for standing on our behalf in such difficult situations. We know the wicked suffer from many woes, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds us. And we trust in you. May we celebrate with the righteous and rejoice with the Lord. We give thanks for the forgiveness received from you. May your unfailing love surround all who trust you and continue to be shaped by testing. In all that we do and say, may we be glorifying you. Be with us this week. In your name, amen.